Welcome to another edition of the War Room here on KLKC on this Monday morning. I'm your host, Sean Fry. And yes, we're still living in a global pandemic. We still have stay-at-home orders that across the country that are starting to be lifted. We're still social distancing. We're still without sports. Now, Keisha has introduced some various proposals, including a 10-day acclimatization period to help bring sports back in the summer. They haven't talked about what high school sports in the fall might look like, so we're still waiting for answers for that. I think Keisha, with that decision, we need time to a virus that it has its own timeline. With that being said, my guest today is going to be Sam Campbell, the Independence Community College softball coach. We've been talking about high school sports for the last few weeks here on the War Room and how high school sports are being affected by the coronavirus and what a timeline is for resumption. But JUCO sports may be looking at a much longer wait period because they're waiting on schools from New York and California and Florida and Georgia to all be at the same level. So it'll be interesting to see what sports look like at the junior college, at the NCAA level compared to the high schools. But my guest today, Samantha Campbell, head coach of Independence Community College softball, a LeBec Community College softball alum and a former assistant at Neosho County and an Oklahoma native. Sam, thank you for coming in today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thanks for having me here.
Someone I've wanted on my show for a while now. It seems like I have to cry and beg to get you to make the trip to Parsons.
Starting to think that you were getting like that you didn't like me because I hadn't been on your show yet. Like you've invited everyone else. You said Kelsey's been on here a few times. Ryan's probably been on here a few times.
Ryan's been on here once.
Okay, Ryan Phillips. I was starting to get a little butthurt about it.
Even Hillary Cook was on here last week.
True.
She's going to be mad at me now that I said even Hillary Cook. Like, I'm just going to the bottom of the barrel now. She was great. Sam, you've been a softball coach in this conference for, what?
8 years.
8 years, nearly a decade now, in the Kansas Jayhawk Conference. And you were a player in it for two years under Ryan, mm-hmm. here at LeBec Community College. I'm curious if this is what you envisioned your trajectory when you were in high school and when you were in middle school. I'm gonna be a softball player and a softball coach at the college level, and I'm just gonna stick around in Kansas for the rest of my life.
Not my plan at all.
I've told you this before. I think what you do is incredibly rare. There's not many daughters in the world that get to say I was a college softball player, then I immediately became a college softball coach, and now I'm a college softball head coach.
Yeah, no, when I was younger, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was leaning more towards the military aspect mm-hmm. of life, and then I was fortunate enough to play for a great guy in good old Ketchum, Oklahoma. He said, you might have a shot to play. You're a little small and you're a little slow, but you still might make it. So
a
I was like,
slow.
Yeah, which was weird because actually when I played for Ryan, he was like, if I give you the steal sign, I didn't mean to. And then when I went on and played back in Oklahoma at Bay Cone, the first time she gave me a steal sign, I was like, what is she doing? And then she was like, hey, you can go. Like, I want you to go. We're going to run you. And I was
Ryan
like,
Phillips told you, if I give you the steal sign,
yeah,
I
he
didn't
was like,
mean to.
Yeah, he was like, probably didn't mean to because he used to tell me I was slow. But I played with Lacey Cook, who was leading the nation in like stolen bases at the time. So
what years did you play at LeBec?
I played there from 09 to 11, so
almost a decade ago. A decade.
Yeah,
ago,
so I played with some pretty fast kids. I was not I was not one of those kids. So
and now you've got and then when I got here was Katie Taylor's first
yeah
first year at
yeah LeBec. Super fast kid.
My favorite Katie Taylor anecdote is I forget who they were playing. I think ironically they were playing Fort Scott, which is where she coaches
now. Yeah, where
now.
She's now. Yeah.
Yeah. She was getting ready to set the single season steal record. And so I'm at the LeBec Community College field here in Parsons covering the game. And where I shot photos at the time was behind the fence along the first base line. And just past the dugout. And I saw she reached base. I think she got walked. And so I saw she reached base and Fort Scott wasn't that great at the time, so I was like, she's going to go steal second and third here. So, and the steal of third would have broken the record. So I better hustle my way around the field, around the backstop, to the third base side, and go get the photo of her running straight in for the stolen base for the third, so I can get a photo of the stolen base record. And I jog my little
self down there.
I got to home plate, and she was at third.
Yeah, so you're not making it.
Wasn't making it.
Fast kid, for sure. Super fast kid.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ryan, I'm curious, was Ryan as aggressive with his base running tactics when you played for him back in 09?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think. We had some big hitters, but we did have speed. We moved Lacey around quite a bit. She wasn't the only one. Andrea Dalton played for us, Chelsea Schuler, all fairly fast kids. Kayla White. Mm-hmm. So we had a little bit of speed. We definitely had some kids that could swing the bat, too. I was not a fast kid, though.
That's one thing that I've always... You know, you've teased me that I love Ryan's program a lot, and I do. And part of the reason I do is because of his tactics, particularly on the base paths. I have always seen him do unique, aggressive, just outright interesting things that I rarely see. And, you know, he's playing Johnson County in a region championship if game. So win or go home for both teams. And it's a full count with two outs.
He's going to squeeze.
And he calls
it
bunt.
He's gonna squeeze. I know.
I mean, it's just. I mean, you never know what he's gonna do. You've coached against him for 6-8 years now. You were an assistant at Neosho County for about 6 years, and now you've been a head coach at Independence for 2 years. You played Ryan this year before the season got canceled.
Yeah.
How do you even scheme against that? How do you prepare your team to literally be ready for anything?
I give you such a hard time about, you know, just your love for Labette. I give you that a hard time for it because I was a kid from Labette. I get it. I loved it. I loved my 2 years there. And preparing to play against him is, it's an exciting thing to play against, you know, your coach, someone that you look up to. But I just tell my kids to be ready for anything. You do not know what happened. And I always feel like if nothing happens in about three pitches, like I tell my kids, it's like if nothing's happened in three pitches, the dude has fell down and had a heart attack because he's constantly looking for the next play, next step ahead. So he's really hard to prepare to play against because you don't know what he's going to do. Like you said, like he's going to squeeze with a full count, you know, two kids on in a big game. Like
I've seen him straight steal players. When he had a player named Michaela Malo who's at Pitt State. Now, I don't think she plays softball there anymore, but he had a player named Michaela Malo. Bottom of the seventh, I don't think it was a conference game, but bottom of the seventh, down one, two outs, he just straight stole her. And
yeah.
She was safe and won, and it tied the game, and it went to extras. They ended up losing, but I just remember thinking, like, wow, he'll just do anything.
Oh, yeah. Nothing really surprises me. I mean, his kids are going to move, and they're going to play for him.
Real question, how badly do you want to beat him?
Oh, bad. For sure, bad. Same thing with Kim. I love them both to death, and they gave me big opportunities in my life, and they've taught me so much about the game, but I want to beat them every time I play them.
I'll never forget when I did you and Kaylani Bryan, so a former player at Labette and a former assistant under Kim Alexander, who's also a former player at Labette and Ryan's mm-hmm. old assistant, and Kaylani Bryan, who's Ryan's old assistant. You and Kaylani both got head coaching jobs in this conference almost on the same, I want to say on the same day, maybe?
It was pretty close. I got mine like a week or two before. I mean, I'm sure she kind of knew she was a shoe-in. Her just wasn't officially announced yet. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll never, what stuck out to me is, so obviously I called Ryan for that story to get his take on, you know, the fact that he has multiple former assistants and players out there in the coaching ranks now, and his coaching tree is growing. And he ends the call with, and by the way, I love when I talk to Ryan on the phone for interviews, because when I'm on the phone for interviews, I type out live what somebody is saying. That's how I transcribe quotes. And so I have my headphones on and I'm typing out live what he's saying. And he knows when he's droning on and on because he hears me stop typing. Stop caring about what he said. He's called me out for that before. He's like, you stopped typing like 3 minutes ago, Sean, so I know you're not listening to what I'm saying. But on that call about that story, he goes, don't get it wrong, Sean. I want to beat the living ish out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We all love each other, but when it's go time, we want to hammer each other into the ground. Like, mm-hmm. it's competitive for sure.
That's what, and that's, That's why I look forward to those games when and then of course Ryan beat Kay in the playoffs last year in the region in the first round of the Region 6 tournament at the D2 level, beat her on two walk-offs, including he was down 2-0 with 2-1 in the bottom of the 7th. And Peyton Nye steps up and hits a full count, 2-out, 3-run homer.
Hey, you got to get on it, too, in Topeka. Those are some long porches.
That was at Labette, because that was the first round. Okay. That was the best of three series. And I know Kay and Katie were just...
Yeah.
They were hurting over that. Sam, we're going to go to a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk a little more softball. We'll talk a little bit about your program over at Independence when we come back. This is your host, Sean Fry. We're here on the War Room, here on KLKC. Don't go anywhere. And we're back here on the War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry, here on KOKC this Monday morning, and I'm joined by Samantha Campbell, head coach of Independence Community College softball, former Neosho County assistant under Kim Alexander, and a former Labette softball player under Ryan Phillips. Southeast Kansas Community College softball has become your lifeblood, Sam. One thing that stood out to me at the top of our interview, though, that I was going to press you about a little bit is... You said you were thinking the military when you were in high school, that was the route you were going to go. My dad was in the Air Force. I'm a proud Air Force son. I am the first male on my father's side of the family ever since my family immigrated here to not go in the military. And my dad never really pressured me to do it because, you know, I picked up, you know, some sports writing internships at a very young age, you know, freshman, sophomore year in high school. And I kept up with those and, you know, I kind of found my passion early. So my dad was like, that's great. That's fine. We had one conversation about it and that was it. But I still have a lot of respect for it. What would you have done had you gone the military route? What branch, what were you envisioning yourself doing?
Oh, I have no clue. I just needed, at that point in my life was, I mean,
needed
I was,
direction.
Yeah, I was young and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. My sister was like our valedictorian of the class and had all these like scholarship offers. I was like, oh man, what am I going to do? And then I come from a small school. So, I mean, they're in your cafeteria, your commons area every day. There's recruiters sitting in there, you know, telling you this is, you know, this could be your life. This, we pay this and you could have a career and a future. And I was like, that don't look too bad. And it's structure. And, mm-hmm. and no matter how, you know, you fight it, everyone wants a little bit of structure. You like knowing what's going on. You like not as much chaos, I guess. So I felt like it was going to give me structure and give some meaning. So I was definitely leaning towards the military. It didn't really matter at that point. Like I said, I never really got far enough into it to where I just picked, you know, a branch or what I wanted to do. I was just starting to talk to recruiters and then my high school coach had a talk with me and then I actually started talking to some schools and going to some camps and started leaning more towards the softball style of life.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny to me how life plays out because, you know, I had the older sister too who was super good grades, straight A's and everything. You know, she went to Punahou High School in Hawaii, which is where we grew up. And it was the same high school that Barack Obama went to, that Manu Te'ao went to. It's a super famous high school there, private high school. All, you know, just she was always the star child. And,
oh, yeah.
And then she goes to London for school. And I was the kid that I didn't have bad grades, but I got A's, B's, and the occasional C. And that's because I was never motivated as academically. I tell kids all the time, take care of your studies. And I'll admit to the privilege and blessings that I had that I really didn't have to try in high school to get my A's, B's, and C's. And then that effort to not try got me B's and C's and a few D's in college. But, you know, it's, you know, I like I told you at the start, and I've told you this before. If I have a daughter and she becomes a head college softball coach at what? You're 30?
I am 30.
If she's at 30 and you've been a head coach for about 2 years now. If at 28, my future daughter is a head college softball coach, I've done my job. I've done a good job. So I'll take that any day of the week. You talked about looking for direction. How did Labette give that to you? We talked a little bit off air about how Ryan has kind of a capability, and I've written this in stories before. Ryan has a good capability of really bringing together an island of misfit toys and turning it into a very special program down there at Labette. Is that the vibe you kind of got?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just the atmosphere, the you get held accountable. And you'll rise to the occasion, or he'll run you until you figure it out. So for me, I had that mentality that I was going to prove everyone wrong. And so even when Ryan was like yelling at me, I'm like, he's just yelling. Like, I'm just, one day we were running and he was like, hey, how many times have you ran around? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, you don't know. And I was like, no, I don't know. And then so he kind of just looked at me, and when I came back around, he's like, how many times have you run? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I just run until you tell me to stop. Like, that's all I know. Like, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I like the structure. I like the sense of, like, we, you know, we're a special group. You felt like you were part of something bigger than you. And I think every kid kind of feels that there at LePet. And I kind of hope that I can give that back to my program, that kind of they feel like, you know, they're where they're supposed to be, and heading in the right direction.
You won a you were a sophomore when they won the conference at LePet, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, this is one thing. This is a theory I had on sports, and I learned this when I was a junior in college, working as a student manager with K-State men's basketball. It was Bruce Weber's first year there, and we won the Big 12. And I hate my story of how we won the Big 12 because we won it on the last day of the season. But we'd lost that day in Stillwater playing Oklahoma State on the early tip-off. I think it was like a noon or 1 o'clock tip-off. And had we won that game, we would have won at least a share. And so the trophy was there. And we saw it when we were walking out from our locker room to the court one time. We were like, there's the trophy. It's right there. We could get it. And we lost that game. So we had to make the trip back to Stillwater, back from Stillwater to Manhattan, on Fake Patty's Day in Manhattan, by the way. Thinking we lost the Big 12. And the team flew. I wasn't assigned to that trip, but managers who just, if you wanted to travel on your own, go ahead. Well, right. You can work the game. So because I wasn't assigned to that trip, me and about three or four managers drove down there from Manhattan to Stillwater to work the game. And us four managers were back in the car driving back, and KU plays Baylor later that day. So we're watching the KU-Baylor game on the phone, and Baylor wasn't that great that year, but if KU lost to Baylor, we would have gotten a share anyway. Well, KU lost to Baylor, and so we won a share of the Big 12, and where we found out, we're in the middle of nowhere, in a car, and we experienced one of the greatest moments of our lives of winning a conference title. Well, what I learned at that moment was, that was hard. It was hard to win a conference title. Because you basically have to play well all year. It's one thing to, like, win a conference tournament. It's one thing to win a regional title in softball. It's one thing to win a national tournament. Those are all incredibly hard feats that require an incredible amount of talent. It also comes down a little bit to who got hot at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
But winning a conference title requires playing extremely well for multiple months on end. And so that was hard. And so I imagine winning that title is something that stands out to you.
It's definitely, I mean, it was a big deal. I mean, we always would go, you know, match up with Highland, and it was a slugfest. So just playing Highland and winning the conference was huge. I mean, we had a good pitching staff, and kids just really stepped up to play. I just remember us going, playing Highland, beating Highland, and then the next day Ryan's like, we're going to play Butler. They're the best in the East, so here we go, or in the West. So. Mm-hmm. It definitely was one of the times that I remember the most. But that year, it was good. It was a good year. We went to the national tournament that year. So winning conference title was great, but the national tournament, you just can't beat that. That's something special.
Mm-hmm. That's a point of pride that I take from my time at K-State is I never got a spring break. You know why? Because we were always in the NCAA tournament.
I know. This is weird for me. I mean, like you said, I've started coaching when I was 22 in college. I was fresh out of college, you know, playing to coaching, and I've never really had a spring break because we've always been playing, and I've never been sitting around on my couch in, you know, the end of April. Usually you're rolling into playoffs, and now we're just I'm hanging out here with you, Sean. Like
you're on the war room.
I know. So different.
You've taken over your program at Indy now. This was a job that you got about 2 years ago. You were in your second season when it got canceled here. The cliche question: what were the values that you've taken from Ryan as a player when you were a player under him, and then an assistant coach under Kim Alexander for what, 6-7 seasons?
Six seasons.
What are the values that you have really learned, and maybe some of your own values that you really want to define your program in Independence?
Oh, that's a good question, Sean. Put me on the spot. I don't know. I mean, to work hard.
So why you wanted to be in the military is some question you can answer, but just what you want for your program.
To work hard every single day. I mean, it's not a given. We all say that as coaches, but I think just to work hard and show up and be held accountable. Be great to everyone. Everyone you meet, treat them how you'd want to be treated. I think that's what I want to teach my kids. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's an instructor, their parents, anyone in the community. Just show up and be there, be the best version of you every single day. And it's going to take you a long way in life, because there's going to be some days that you don't have it and people are going to step up and help you. Be good to everyone.
I like that. One thing, I don't mean to keep going back to K-State. One thing Bruce Weber said one time that, I don't know why it stood out to me, but it did. But he goes, the best athletes and the best people give the best of themselves 19 days out of 20. Everybody's going to have that one off day. But if everybody else around you is having their best days, they'll pick you up that one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't, there's a lot of things that I've gotten in my life, and it's not, I mean, it's just the people that I know that they've been good to me. I mean, Kim gave me an opportunity. Ryan gave me an opportunity. I had a high school coach that didn't give up on me. Like, I am who I am because of these people giving me these opportunities. So, and I hope that I can give that back to my kids.
Mm-hmm. Sam, we're going to go to another quick break, we'll talk a little more Independent softball here when we come back. This is Samantha Campbell, my guest today on The War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Don't go anywhere here on KOKC. We'll be right back. We're back here on The War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry, and I'm joined by Samantha Campbell, head coach of Independence Community College softball and a LeBec Community College alum under Ryan Phillips. Sam, you're the second Montgomery County person I've had, the second Independence person I've had in a row. I had Hillary Cook on last week. She's a cop over there in Independence, and now I've got the Indy softball coach on. Maybe I should move my show over there to Montgomery County and see if I can't just run the table. I'm sure they love me over there. Looking at the first 2 years you've taken over this program, really first year and a half.
Does this year really count? We just talked about that. I don't know.
that's a real question. Is what do you put in the record books for this year and stuff like that? Like, you know, does some kid who was hitting 400 set the single season team record for average? I don't know. I am curious though how you and your team reacted to the cancellation of the season. Because I know you, I mean, you had just gotten into conference play. You were running middle of the road in your conference. I'm curious as to really how you were anticipating, how you've dealt with it.
Well, I feel like how everyone else in the country's dealt with it. We just kind of have to. We don't have a choice. We just started playing, and I mean, we were in Pratt actually the day before. So like on the 12th of March, we were in Pratt and, on the way back, which I hadn't had my phone or anything. I didn't really know what was going on. And on the way home, our athletic trainer was talking about the suspension of the NBA and all this. And then my AD called me and he was like, hey, there's some stuff going on. And this is kind of, you know, progressing quite a bit today. We weren't allowed to travel outside of the state anymore once we got, you know, when we got home. We were supposed to play an Iowa team the next day. Fortunately, the Iowa team was already here, so we got to go ahead and play them. I was told not to reschedule with, you know, North Arc. So it kind of blew up in like 2 days, but in between games on the 13th, I knew we were going to probably suspend the season. That was the talk. My phone was blowing up. I kind of told our kids, like, hey, we might need to get after it. We might not get to play for a little while. And they called us in and said we were going to extend our spring break for an extra week, you know, give it 2 weeks and hopefully it would pass. And
we're still here.
We literally walked right off the field. And it's crazy, is one of my kids is like a player of mine. Her dad came up and he's like, hey, I don't know what this means. He's like, but I just wanted to thank you, you know, for having my daughter play for you. And, you know, it's, you know, it's been a good season. He's like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I was like, oh, don't say that. We'll be back. Didn't come back.
Yeah, I'm curious, do you know, are any sophomores intending or wanting to come back and run it back?
Yeah,
How many sophomores did you have?
I had six sophomores. So only two of them played quite a bit last year. So some of them really were getting their opportunity this year to play. So I feel bad for them because they were just getting hot and getting out there. They didn't play a lot as a freshman and was getting that time as a sophomore. And then no
they
season.
They could come back if they wanted.
Yeah,
a lot of logistical issues. With
there is, and we're still kind of working through that right now. I do have three that do want to return and three that will not.
Okay.
So I'll
have. Are any of the three that are not, are they going 4-year or anything like that?
We're looking right now. Like I said, they didn't get to play a lot last year, so they didn't have a lot of stats. So they've got some options, but none of them have really signed and found a home yet. I actually had one that had a big injury last year and was just coming out. So she didn't play because of an injury. Well, didn't play a lot last year, got an injury this year. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So she was just kind of in a bad spot, but we'll find her a home and get her somewhere. But she was really starting to come into her own.
I'm curious, setting aside the logistics of dealing with this pandemic and the stoppage of sports and looking more at the psychological and emotional impact of it, and really setting aside your selfless care for your players. And I know that's impossible to set aside. I know that's where your first thought's going to go every time. That's because you're a good coach who's a selfless person. But softball, particularly the spring, has been your routine for a decade, and it's where you found your niche as an adult in life. It's been, that's where you take your pride and joy in it. And now we're sitting here, in stay-at-home orders and just kind of sitting in our thumbs in a lot of ways. Obviously, some of us are still able to work. I'm very blessed that I have the opportunity to still work for now, at least. There's a lot of sports writers that are being laid off around this area.
Yeah, and there's a lot of coaches as well. It's crazy.
How have you personally dealt with it psychologically? How has it affected you? What do you really feel about it?
Oh, I hate it. but at the same time, it's been all right. We'll get through it. I get to focus on my kids and, our next season. I mean, that's really what it comes down to now is we'll just get ready for our next season. So like I said, we are returning some sophomores. All of our freshmen are returning and then they'll be sophomores and we'll have some brand new freshmen coming in. So right now my main focus, I've just been putting into what's coming up in the next season, getting all these kids back, keeping them eligible during these weird times. A lot of them, they didn't want online classes. So just keeping them locked in. That's really all I've been doing. I can say that I didn't really deal with it the first few weeks because I was like, this is crazy. This is not happening. This is like the realization of it hadn't really set in. So I really didn't. I was like, nah, it'll be fine. We're fine. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And then so here in the last few weeks, I've actually started accepting we've got to start preparing for the next season, start recruiting a little bit more. It's been a weird time. I don't know. I go through my day. Some days I'm like, okay, we're all right. And then sometimes this really freaking sucks. So
it does. And I'll admit I've struggled with it too. I split time between sports and news desk now at the Parsons Sun, and even the sports desk, it's just all stories about what Case is doing or some sort of administrative story that just has to do with sports. None of it is coverage. And I always said that, feature profile stories and investigative stories into the administration side of sports, that's what I take the most pride in. But it's all sustained. My bread and butter day-to-day is game coverage. And with spring sports in particular, while basketball, I'll admit basketball is my first love. It's what I'm
gonna... Oh, come on now, Sean.
But what do you think is?
Softball.
Softball's grown on me. We didn't have softball at K-State, and my high school didn't have a softball team in Virginia when I was there. So I really, LCC and high school softball here in Kansas, in Southeast Kansas, is where I was first exposed to it. But anyway, with spring sports, it provides a different atmosphere, which in the sense of I'm in the dugouts during baseball and softball games, shooting photos and writing up stories. So I'm talking to the players and the coaches during the game. I'm at track meets on the runways and on the track, talking to coaches and talking to athletes. That's just a dynamic you don't get with basketball and winter sports where you're standing on the sidelines, and football where I'm just on the sidelines taking photos. It's a dynamic I miss just getting out there every day, particularly because, the majority of the last two or three weeks have been really nice weather.
Oh, yeah. It's been the best weather we've had in
the best probably, we've ever had.
Probably 3 years. Actually, Ryan and I talked about this the other day because like 3 years ago, it was super windy. And the last two seasons, it's just been rainy. Last season was the hardest. I think we had, you know, probably 14 games canceled,
yeah.
You know, 7 dates or so that we just didn't get in, and we had to just push to get conference in because of the weather. And now the sun's shining, everyone's grass is green, their fields look nice.
Yeah. And nope.
Oh, yeah, it's killing me.
It is. And what do you think the residual of that is when you eventually get this back? What do you think your program, psychologically and emotionally, in terms of motivation, you know, the cliche is that we're going to be motivated when we come back. Do you think that's going to happen in independent
softball? I do. I think a lot of kids, and I mean, we always tell our kids, like, it's not a given. You don't have this every day. It really, I mean, all of us, every sport stopped pretty much on the same day. The whole world stopped in sports. Like
the NBA canceling its season was a shot heard around the world.
Yeah. And so we all got it taken away. And one day, usually it's like, oh, you know, the senior plays their last game, but then there's freshmen that still have 3 years. So not everyone loses it on the same day. So we've all lost it kind of on the same day, whether it be playing or coaching. So I think we'll come back better. I know my kids, my freshmen, they were just starting to, you know, get those jitters out, you know, starting to settle in and play, and then no more season. So I think they'll come back hungry. They're all, like I said, they're all coming back. I have three sophomores that want to return because they want to finish. They want to finish what they started at Indy. And freshmen that are just coming in ready to get going. Like, they got their senior season taken away, some of them, you know, ones from here in Kansas. They didn't even get to play their senior season, so they're chomping at the bit just to get back to it. And then, I think some want to, you know, double down and play hard because they got their season taken away as their sophomore mm-hmm. year when they were going to be wrapping up or moving on. So, I think everyone's going to come back and play super hard.
Yeah.
I think the conference that was tough it's going to be even tougher now because now we're all chomping at the bit to get back.
Mm-hmm.
I
think you guys, with the class you got coming in and the people you got coming back, think you guys are going to be looking good next year?
Oh, everyone has to say yes. I mean,
everybody does. That's,
I mean, I can only scream and yell so much. I think it's with them. Like I said, I think they're all hungry. They either want to finish what they started, or they feel cheated because their freshman year got taken away. And then the freshmen, you know, that are coming in that maybe didn't get to play their senior year. So I'm excited to see, even with our returners. I know we only played, you know, 15, 16 games. But they're not as green, and that was kind of some of our issues at Indy this year was I looked out there at one point and I was like, what is happening? And I have two sophomores on the field, a center fielder and a first baseman, and everyone else is, you know, just brand new out there. So mm-hmm. I'm excited because we won't be as green next year when we return all those kids.
You know, you say there's only so much you can scream and yell. I haven't, in my interactions with you, I haven't seen that limit yet, so...
I always tell my kids when I recruit them, and they know, like, I scream and yell all the time. And I'm like, I have to. I'm 5'1". Like, I have nothing else. Like, I have to scream and yell, guys.
What percentage of your players are all of your players taller than you?
No. There's a few that are about 5'1", but I always put them down as, like, 5'2 or 5'3". Like, I don't want everyone, I'm like, oh, everyone's going to know we're tiny. But yeah, most of them are taller. Actually, one of my pitchers the other day called and she was like, "Hey, I'm still growing." I was like, "What?" She's like, "Yeah." She's like, "I'm 5'10 now," and I was like, "You're 5'10?" Like, she was, I think, like 5'8 when we got her. Like, I don't know. So she, like, have kids that are still growing, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I haven't grown since I was a freshman in high school. So,
yeah.
Good for you.
last thing before we wrap it up here. You personally, where do you envision yourself professionally in your future? Is Independence a long-term home for you? I know, you know, the cliche is go 1-0 and take each year, each day as it comes, and try to be prepared for the next best opportunity. But if you could choose your path going forward, what does that look like for Sam Campbell?
I definitely want to stay in JUCO. I want to stay and build somewhere. I mean, I would like to stay at Indy. I want to stay in JUCO. I want to build a program. I want to have a legacy in it. I mean, like we talked about earlier, I'm 30. Like, I want to have something. So I would like to stay and build at Indy. I mean, I would like to. I know we kind of talked about earlier off the air a little bit. I would like to go to Division II. I'd like to move that program back this way and play LeBet in conference, play Neosho in conference. I still schedule them non-conference, but yeah, I'd like to stay around and build at Indy a little bit.
For someone who's in their second year of coaching and never even got to finish the second year because of the pandemic, you seem very – I like the fact that you're vocal. You've told me you've gone to your administration that you want to move back to D2, that it would help with scholarship and scheduling issues that you
– travel. I mean, just to travel alone.
It's brutal.
You go all the way out.
Don't make me go to Colby or Pratt Dodge.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, if we played back Division II, I mean, we'd be right here at home. And I think our administration, Eric Figurski, our interim AD, he seems to take to a little bit. I mean, we travel a lot. Like, we go all the way out to, Northwest Tech, which is in Goodland. So almost Colorado, Colby, Seward, Garden, Pratt. I mean, our closest game is Butler in El Dorado. So if we move back to Division II, I mean, our farthest game would be, Highland, Johnson County.
I'm sure all schools hate having to go to you.
Oh, I know. I always, when we sit around in meetings and talk, and they're always like, hey, what do you guys want to do? And I'm like, it doesn't – I'm the oddball out. Like, what's the best for you guys? Because – I mean, a typical day of travel for us is at least, 3 hours, 2.5 hours just to play. So when we go to Butler, we're like, yeah, it's close, but it's only an hour and a half, which would be the farthest away.
Whereas if you were on the D2 side, you would have Coffeyville, LeBet, all within 30 minutes or less.
Yeah, I mean.
Neosho County is probably not that far, is about that distance.
Yeah, even the same as Allen. I mean, Fort Scott's still not too far away.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sam, I think it's going to wrap it up. Any final thoughts that I didn't necessarily directly pry you about?
No. Got nothing. Just done talking.
Finally, am I right?
Yeah, over it. No, I appreciate you having me here, Sean. I appreciate you taking interest in Indy. We're definitely excited to get back out there and show everyone what we can do.
For sure. Sam, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you coming on to the War Room. Certainly, a guest I've wanted to have on for a while now. You're someone that's always intrigued me, to say the least. I've always enjoyed your personality when you were an assistant at Neosho County, and now that you're ahead at Indy. And earlier this season, you let me shoot from your dugout, shoot photos in there. I appreciate that as well.
Of course.
You've always been kind to me. That's going to do it here on the War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Thank you, Sam Campbell, head coach at Independence Community College Softball, for coming in today and talking with me about her program and how she's dealing with the pandemic. The same message I give to you guys every week: please continue to stay safe, practice social distancing, follow your local and state and federal health guidelines. That is the best way we can get our lives back to whatever sense of normalcy that we're going to pursue and that we want back. I want my sports back. Like I said on air, I miss it. I miss it a lot. And I believe the best way we can get it back is for all of us to collectively fight, and that the way we fight this is by following what our doctors and what our health departments are saying. So practice social distancing. Stay at home if you can. Stay safe. Enjoy time with your family and your loved ones. And that's how we can get back to it. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Thank you again to Sam Campbell for coming in. This has been another edition of the War Room. Stay safe and God bless.